Smith. Brother Rudy has took us to the cross each night. And I assume he'll be going back to the cross tonight. I appreciate this man of God, the messages he's been preaching. Brother Rudy's the pastor of the Mount Sinai Baptist Church in Easley, South Carolina. You come around and preach to us, brother. Pickens, South Carolina. Sorry, brother. Amen. You preach to us.
Well, I want to say thank you, preacher, for inviting us again this year. I certainly have enjoyed the meeting and the blessings, and thank you so much for all of you that prepared the meals and the grounds and all the work that's gone into this camp meeting. And I appreciate the Spirit of the Lord moving and ministering to us as he has in these services. Tonight, I want you to turn with us to the book of Micah. The book of Micah. I want to look tonight at a verse in the book of Micah, chapter number 7. Micah, chapter number 7. That little Old Testament, what we call a minor prophet, but the message is not minor, just the brevity of the book is what's minor. But Micah chapter 7, and I appreciate the singing, I appreciate the sweet Spirit of the Lord that's moved and helped us, and I wished I could have carried on with those short sayings of the Savior, but I didn't have enough time to do it justice, so I'll get that later, all right? But we will get to the cross. If we preach and don't get to the cross, we've missed it, folk. Amen. Paul said, God forbid. He said, I don't want to know anything among you saving Jesus Christ and him crucified. So it's the message of the cross. If it wasn't for the cross, every one of us would be headed to hell tonight. And I appreciate the mercies of God. Micah chapter 7. Have you found your place? Will you stand with us, please, as I read verse number 18. Verse number 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because I like this. He delighteth in mercy. That's what I want to preach a little bit about tonight. He delighteth. He's tickled about it. He's excited about it. Hey, he not dreading it. He's not stingy with it. He delighteth in mercy. If he didn't delight in mercy, I wouldn't be here tonight. You wouldn't be here tonight. I wouldn't be saved tonight. You wouldn't be saved tonight. But he delighteth in mercy. Even you that are here tonight and lost, the reason you're here and not in hell already is because he delighteth in mercy, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord's will for your life is for you to repent and be saved. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He gave his son to keep you out of hell. And the very fact that you're here tonight in the land of the living and not in hell, sinner person, is because he delighteth in mercy. Thank you. You may be seated. These last three verses of the book of Micah break forth into a psalm of praise. Who is a God like unto thee? May in fact be a play upon Michael's very name that means who is like the Lord. Well, among other things and many things we might say about them, he is a God that delighteth in mercy. It is never said that God delighteth in wrath. He does not. Isaiah says that wrath is his strange work. God does not get any pleasure out of the death of the wicked. God gets no pleasure in sending men and women that reject his son to a Christless eternity in hell. He gets no pleasure in that. It breaks his heart. I believe that God's wrath is his strange work. But God does delight in mercy. And when you think about mercy, this Hebrew term chesed is translated most often in the Old Testament as mercy, 149 times as mercy, 4 or 5 times I think as merciful, 40 times translated as the word loving kindness. When you talk about the mercy of God, you're talking about the divine goodness and loving kindness of God toward wretched and hell-deserving men, and women. Mercy, to put it in the simplest terms, is simply the kindness of God shown to the guilty. And every last one of us are guilty. There's none righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But aren't you glad that God is a God of mercy? Now, as I expound in this passage of Scripture tonight, in fact, these last 3 verses unfold something about the mercy of God. In our text verse tonight, there is the character of God's mercy. In verse 19, there is the conquest of God's mercy. In verse number 20, there is the covenant of God's mercy. I won't have time to do those last 2 verses, but I do want to look a little bit tonight at verse 18 and speak of the character of God's mercy. Now, as you think about the character of God's mercy, I want you to jot this down. Number one, may I say that his mercy is a peculiar mercy. A peculiar mercy. He says, "Who is a God like unto thee?" Hey, when you speak of God's mercy, you're talking about something unique, something in a class all of its own, because that's an attribute of God. That's who God is. God is merciful. And when you talk about God, brother and sister, or his attributes or his nature, he is not to be compared with any. Let me say this, he is not the best God. He's the only. Down in Columbia, South Carolina, in my state, down in that part of the country, they all talk like black folk. I mean, they really do. Down there, they'll say that, they won't say that's a floor, that saith a flow. That not a door, that is a dough. And they have a way of talking down there in that part of the country. And one of their colloquial terms is the word, can I borrow your shovel? And they said, yeah, preacher, you can borrow it. It's the onlyest one I got. Now, onlyest isn't good English, but it's good theology when you come talk about God. He's not in a class, my friend, to be compared with others, because he is the only God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. He's God, and besides him, there is none other. And when you speak about the mercy of God, you're talking about a unique mercy, a peculiar mercy. We're talking about the mercy of God. There are other mercies maybe you and I have experienced in life. I had one the other day. The little blue light special went on behind me. Y'all ever get that? And I was guilty. But I prayed for mercy and got a warning instead of a ticket. Maybe some of you have stood before a judge here on this earth and cast yourself on the mercy of the court, and they may have had mercy. Well, I'm telling you what, but when you talk about the mercies of God, you get into a realm far beyond that. Oh, we're talking about the peculiar mercy. Who is a God like unto thee? There ain't none like him. There's no mercy like his mercy. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy is higher than the heavens, deeper than the sea. Amen. His mercy endureth forever. Aren't you glad his mercy endureth forever? I'm glad 10 million yet years from now, when I'm in the glory world, God's not going to come up to me and say, "Son, sorry, you'll have to leave. I've run out of mercy." No. It endureth forever. I bless the Lord. But anyway, when I think about the mercy of God is a part of the divine nature. It is a part of the glory of the divine nature. I remember back in Exodus chapter 34, remember that Moses was asking the Lord, "Show me thy glory." Oh, yes. You recall that? And as the Lord put him in the cleft of the rock and covered him there by his hand, he said, "I'll make all my goodness pass before thee, but you won't see my face. You'll just see my back parts." Amen. You can't see my face, but you can see where I've been. Oh, my soul, I can't get off on with that. But hey. But listen to me. When God passed by after he was there, in Exodus 35:5, "And the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord." That's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Anytime you see that in the Old Testament, it's a translation of the word Jehovah. Jehovah, that's his name, his covenant name. That's the great I am. He said, the Lord God, there is the Jehovah Elohim. Elohim, he's the creator. That's a plural name of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. The Lord God. And what's the very first thing he gives in a description, my friend? And what's Moses asking about to see the glory? What's the first thing that comes up? Merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin. Oh, you see, mercy is the glory, a part of the glory of the divine essence. Mercy is who God is, as well as what he does. He is merciful. Bless his holy name. So the revelation of God's glory first reveals his mercy. Because when you look at our text in the light of mercy, it is a peculiar mercy. Who is a God like unto thee? What can you compare him with? Hey, where can you find mercy that would compare to God taking hell-bound, hell-deserving sinners? Hey, punishing his own son, putting our hell on his own darling son. Hey, brother, poured his wrath that deserved to be poured on us to pour it on His own Son. Oh, what mercy, what grace, what mercy God is. And His mercy is incomparable. You can't compare it to anything because it's in a class all by itself. It is a peculiar mercy. Secondly, I want you to see something else in this text. Not only the mercy of God is a peculiar mercy. The mercy of God is a pardoning mercy. Back to our text. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Oh my, so, you know, I was reading there in Exodus 34 a while ago about being God forgiving iniquities, transgressions, and sin. But you read on, and He says, and that will by no means clear the guilty. Do you hear that? By no means clear the guilty. Visiting the iniquity on the fathers and the children and upon the children's children of the third and fourth generation. Now, as you look at that, the revelation of God's glory not only speaks of His mercy, but also declares His justice. God will not let sin go unpunished. Your sin will not get by. He will by no means clear the guilty. Well, if that's the case, how in the world can God pardon? Glad you asked that. I think the answer is in the very word pardon itself. Yes, that word pardoneth in our text, that pardoneth iniquity, is the little Hebrew word nasa. And that word nasa means to lift up, to bear, to carry away, to pardon. It is the word that's used to describe what took place on the Day of Atonement, when the two kids of the goat were brought, amen, for the people. First of all, of course, the high priest had to go and offer an ox for his own sin in the one time a year, going behind the second veil of the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood first for his own sin. But then he took those two kids of the goat, and my friend, and they would slay that goat, and he would take the blood and go in and sprinkle before the Lord. Amen. Hey, folk, and can I just tell you, it's still the blood. It wasn't just the death. It was the blood. It's the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Amen. I know some people get upset about the blood. If it hadn't have been for the shed blood, there'd be no hope for any of y'all. I don't know why I got off on that. But that little goat, so two, they would cast lots, and one would be slain. They'd take the blood in. And then that high priest would come back out with his bloody hands, and he would lay his hands on the what they call the scapegoat, and confess all the sins.
Amen.
And then they would take that goat and send him by the hands of a fit man.
Amen.
Amen. Off into the wilderness. In Leviticus 16:22, and the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities. There's your word. Shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land uninhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. Now, we asked the question a while ago, if God will not clear the guilty, won't let sin get by, how can he pardon? Well, the answer is this. The way God pardons sinners is by bearing the iniquities himself. You see, when Abraham and Isaac headed up the mountain, hey, here's the wood, here's the fire, but where is the lamb? Abraham said, God will provide himself. And that's exactly what God did. Hallelujah. May I say that pardon is rooted in Calvary. There'd be no pardon for us. There'd be no forgiveness for us if there wasn't a Calvary. Your sin is punished. You don't get by. Your wicked wretchedness has been punished. Jesus took your place. He took your punishment. He paid the price so you could go free. Amen. He signed my pardon. Oh, my soul, my soul. Oh, I bless the day. And you know that verse said, forgiving iniquities. I'm glad. I love this verse. Did you know, I found this out the other day. I've read it hundreds of times. But I never did catch it. Did you know the word forgiveness is plural? Is in the Bible one time. And you know who it belongs to? To the Lord. Amen. It's in the book of Daniel. Forgivenesses belong to thee. I'm glad for that forgivenesses of God that comes via the mercy of God, the pardoning mercy of God. God did not let my sin go unpunished. He did not clear it. He punished it. But he punished his son in my stead so I could go free. Pardon is rooted in Calvary. One other thing about mercy here. Notice the next statement. And passes by the transgression of his heritage. Not only is his mercy a peculiar mercy and a pardoning mercy, but his mercy is a Passover mercy. Oh my, so listen, brother, this doesn't mean that God is unobservant of sin or unoffended by sin, but he passes by because he sees that the payment has been made. And when he sees the blood, and I'm glad the blood's been applied. I'm glad he carried his blood to God. He, amen, in his resurrection, in his high priest garb, amen, he headed to the glory world. And as he came into the glory world, they were looking and they said, lift up your head, O ye gates, be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. Who is the King of glory? Amen. The Lord mighty in battle. Yes, he done battle. Hey, amen. He bruised the devil's head. He won the victory. Amen. And they open the door, and he comes in. He comes down Hallelujah Avenue, and he's bearing, my friend, his own blood that he shed. And he goes in before God and presents that blood. Amen. And God said, that's good enough. Amen. And then he leaves, goes back to the earth, gets that crowd he got up out of Abraham's bosom. Yeah. And said, come on, amen, let's go back to the city. They're looking on the walls again, Psalm 20, amen, 4, and they said, again, they say, lift up your heads, O ye gates, be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. Who is the King of glory? This time, notice the difference. Not the Lord mighty in battle, but the Lord of hosts. He's got a whole host with him, and every door is slung open, and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob get to walk into that city they look for all their life. Why? The gates of heaven were closed to humanity until the darling Son of God with his own blood paid the price. Amen. And it's not to be repeated. I'm telling you what, he sat down having obtained eternal redemption for us. Won't ever have to be done.
I wanted to preach on "It Is Finished" tonight. There with that cry in the dark. The cry in the dark. Oh my. So it was the cry preached about the, you know, we are the why. Why is that? That was a cry of trauma. There was the cry of thirst. He thirsted with the thirst of hell. He experienced the darkness of hell, the separation of hell. But right there, oh, if you're just watching, you'd look, and all of a sudden, you'd see a light come on in his face. And my friend, and if you'll put the text together like it ought to be, and read Luke, and what John says, Luke doesn't tell about it. Luke said he cried with a loud voice, and then he said, "Father, in thy hand." Now go back, watch them cry right before that. He cried. He gets up, pulls up on that cross, and he cries, "It is finished!" And bless God, it's done. Never have to be redone. Never have to be repaid. Hey, he paid it all. Hallelujah. It's finished. This is a victory speech right here. It's finished. A victory speech. Amen. Heard Percy Ray preach one time on the seven sayings, and he said this. He said, hey, other generals and captains have given their victory speeches, and they've done so at the expense of the blood of the men that served under them. But not Jesus. He gave victory speech not by our blood, but by his own blood. Hey, it's still the blood. And he went in and offered the blood. And that's the reason God passes over you and I. Bless the Lord. I've almost done now. I talked about a peculiar mercy. I talked about a pardoning mercy. I talked about a Passover mercy. But let me mention this one, a pacifying mercy. Read the next on the text. That passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. Look at this. He retaineth not his anger forever. God was angry with the wicked every day, but he ain't angry with me no more. He poured out his anger on his son. Hallelujah. God's anger is not passion, but principle. His anger stems before from his holiness and his justice. But when the debt was paid at Calvary, God's justice was forever satisfied for those that are in Christ. Amen. Because the debt was paid with the precious, powerful, prevailing, rich, red, royal, redeeming blood of the Lamb of God. And it was the blood of God, not the blood of man. Go to Acts chapter 20. Amen. The church that he bought with his, God bought with his own blood. That blood in Jesus was not Adamic blood. He got his body from mama, but he got his blood from daddy. Amen. And it was the blood of God. The blood of man wouldn't redeem. The depraved blood of Adam couldn't redeem. But the precious blood, amen, of the Son of God was the blood of God. And God's blood bought my soul. I've been redeemed. And God is no longer angry with me. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his holy name. I'm done. Not only his blood, not only his mercy is a pardoning mercy, peculiar mercy, a Passover mercy, a pacifying mercy. But I love what it is. It is, in fact, a pleasing mercy. Oh, my soul. The
The reason I'm still in the ministry is because he delighteth in mercy. Some 26 years ago, my wife took and put a pistol to her head and pulled the trigger. And I thought my life was over. But you know what? For 20 years, I drug around an invalid from place to place. What kept you going? All I can tell you, it's mercy. He delighteth in mercy. That's the reason I'm still preaching. By the way, 60 years of preaching. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to celebrate 55 years of preaching the Word of God. I surrendered to preach at Camp Zion in Myrtle, Mississippi, July the 4th, 1968. How is it you're still a preaching? You said a mouthful. That's the reason I'm still in. That's the reason I'm not shipwrecked. That's the reason I didn't cough up a sponge and throw in the towel. It's the mercy of God. I can't brag on my strength. I can't brag on my endurance. I'm just telling you, something done got a hold of me and holding me up and keeping me up. And bless God, it's the mercy. And God's not pouting. Well, I guess I'll have to have mercy. God, he delights in it. He's tickled about it. There'd got to be a devil up there somewhere. Aren't you glad God delights in mercy?
I am very glad, brother.
If you would, it wasn't for the mercy, would you be here?
Nope.
How many of us could have got killed in a car wreck? How many of us have had close calls? And you know, my friend, you shouldn't have been here. What can you attribute to that to? He delighteth in mercy. While you up there, take it, preacher. I'm done.
I'm thankful for God's everlasting mercy. Mercy held back what I should have gotten from God. And grace gave me what I did not deserve from God. I'm glad he is merciful. And his mercies endure forever.